with 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
From Chicago yesterday, we'll get to that game in a few minutes. In Boston today, how you doing, Pierre?
Very well, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. I think you were the first person to drop the name Nikolai Deslauriers several weeks ago when we were looking around for fourth line something and nothing was happening. That was a while ago.
It was. Nick brings a whole lot of thump to the party. He'll stir it up. He'll get to the net. He'll get to the be the first man on the forecheck. Sometimes he'll be over-aggressive. Sometimes he'll take retaliatory penalties. I love what Claude Julien said about identity. He can help that fourth line have some identity. But the big thing is he can stabilize a game physically. So I like that acquisition by Montreal. And I think that eventually he will find a way into the regular lineup. I have to say this, though. It bothers me that he's wearing number 20.
Go ahead.
Because all I remember is the great Pete Mihalovich.
And I want to take this opportunity tomorrow at 4:30, just before we talk to you. We're going to be set up at the Windsor. We're doing our show from there.
Oh,
that,
nice.
Yeah,
nice.
That's where the NHL, when it was the hotel, was formed 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And among the people that we're going to be talking to are Davey Keon and Denny Savard and Rod Gilbert and Yvon Cornwallé and perhaps a Mihalovich and perhaps a couple of other people. So, yeah, much like some of us, I think, what, did Bill Root wear 18 at some point or 19?
He did.
Right?
He did.
You know, that was like, come on, I understand
well,
there aren't.
Like Brett Clark. Remember Brett Clark?
Sure, a defenseman.
He wore number 29.
Yeah, right.
No, come on. And it wasn't his fault. You know, he asked for the number and he got that. Anyways, that's just the old Montreal Canadian fan in me, I guess.
All right, don't apologize for that. And I love Pete Mihalovich. And now I think over the last couple of years, as more people have gone into the hall, I think he's worth taking a second look at. So let me get your take on specifically the fourth line and what we expect from it. You know, Claude mentioned Jacob Delarose. He's got size and he skates well. Pierre, there's something not happening with Jacob Delarose. He hasn't scored a goal in the NHL in 3 years. You saw the opportunity he had the other night. He hesitated just enough, and Bobrovsky went over and made a brilliant save, but an NHL player buries that shot immediately. What do they see, perhaps, in him, other than a big body who skates well, that some of us don't see?
Well, he processes the game really well. That's why I will tell you this honestly. I think I know I said it to you when the expansion draft was going on. That would be a player, if I were Vegas, I'd be interested in that player because I think I could cultivate that player because he processes the game really well. He knows where to be in his own zone. He knows where to move the puck coming out of his own zone. He knows how to forecheck. He's got good stick positioning. He knows how to get to the front of the net. Do I think he's a pure scorer? No, I don't. That's not why I have him. I have him as a depth player in an organization that can help you, like a Marcus Kruger used to help you in Chicago. Those guys matter. They matter because they can do little things well and they can eat up minutes that star players need to rest during that time. So I get that he's not scoring and that is a little bit troublesome because his skill set would speak to more goals. But for whatever reason, that hasn't happened. I think it's probably more of a confidence thing than anything else. But coaches appreciate players that can process the game, Mitch, and he processes it well.
All right, so back to the fourth line, and one of Mitch Gallo's constant complaints about the Canadiens' philosophy is
that they don't put a premium on skill, and they'd rather try to have this identity of being a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger. And I just believe if you know you're trying to call up the best player or the guy that's played the best in Laval right now, it's been Daniel Carr. He's got 10 goals and 6 assists in 14 games. He's been outstanding for the Rocket.
See, that's fair. That's a really good assessment. Daniel's a guy that sniffed the NHL. Daniel's a guy that's had to work extremely hard to get to the NHL. I think there's some merit to that. Now, I haven't seen Daniel play in the American League, so I'm going off by what Mitch Gallo is reporting in terms of the numbers. But there's something to that as well. It's hard to find, you hear me use this term all the time, supplemental offense. It's really hard to find that up and down your roster, in particular the third and fourth line if you're going to number your lines. Maybe Daniel could be that. But maybe they want more from him, and they're not prepared to take less, and that's maybe why he's had a hard time being up in the NHL. Maybe he can't produce those numbers at the NHL level.
Well, Claude Julien and Marc Bergevin were at the Laval Rocket game last night. They won 5-4, and that's the game Mitch mentioned. Carey scored two goals. Larry Carrière, as you know, is their GM. He was on earlier today again with Knuckles and Sean Campbell.
Yeah, you know, Knuckles, I don't think it's any like reacting to what the other team is in this case. I mean, we look at it every day, and as you said, Daniel Carr's had a really good start, 10 goals, and he's a big-time competitor. He takes pucks to the net, and he scores big goals. With Nick Deslauriers, he's an interesting one. He's shown us all the different dimensions he has, and he's very physical. He's jacked up about practice and the games, and we just thought that energy and that enthusiasm would be a good fit for our game tonight here, so.
All right, so that seems to be the key ingredient here is energy.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. That's why I brought Nick's name up. How long ago? 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks? I don't know. That's why I brought it up, because the team was stumbling and bumbling, and they didn't have a lot of energy. Now, all of a sudden, they realize, uh-oh, we're life and death to win games here, even though they've been putting points in the bank. We're life and death. Every game's a one-goal game, and that saps you. When you have to play a lot of those, that saps you. So you need guys that have enthusiasm and can get you jacked up. And that was the right thing that Larry said. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But that's why I told you that a long time ago. You got to be proactive on that stuff. You got to be extremely proactive on that stuff.
So in terms of the energy and the issues we've discussed, the Canadians on home ice early in games is just not being there. Marc Denis once again this morning with Connor McKenna in the gang.
But you got to realize, you look at their lineup and you look at their confidence or lack thereof, and you just have to jump on it. You have to get that early jump, and I know by design the Montreal Canadiens management coaching staff, they want their leaders to be humble and to be even keel. That's fine, but then when the puck drops, you need that high energy level.
It's tough to argue with that, and I'm just wondering about the humble and respectful aspect of it in the big picture, of course, but there are times, like Paul Byron the other night, you just got to lose it.
I love that. I told you that yesterday. I thought that was fantastic. Humble and kind is great, especially if it's a country song being sung by Tug or Tim McGraw. It's really good. But I will tell you right now, you're not going to win with a room full of Vestal Virgins.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but this is a hard, nasty game. You know what? I think Marc Denis makes a lot of sense in a lot of things that he says. I'm not sure Canadians management want their teams to go out there, their leaders, to be humble and kind. Maybe with the press, for sure with the public, for sure with the fans, for sure in how they conduct themselves in society. But on an NHL ice surface, if that's the demand of management and ownership, which I don't believe it is, to be humble and kind on the ice, oh boy, they're in the wrong business. Because I've been around a lot of winning teams. That's not what it's about. Humble and kind away from the rink, not on the ice surface.
You need an edge. You need to play at an edge, especially the bigger the game.
Do you remember one of our favorites, you and I, Riseboro? Do you remember that little sheepish grin he would have all the time? And he'd kind of like mock guys with it. He'd stare them down. Remember?
Well, he started that infamous brawl in Philadelphia by looking sideways at Bobby Clark and perhaps even spitting in his direction.
But you know, we're on the same page here. You don't think Pete, you and I love Pete on and off the ice. Pete Mahomes, awesome guy.
Love
awesome.
Him.
Just
yeah,
awesome
love him.
Guy. But you don't think he was a little bit brash on the ice?
Different time, a different time, Pierre, right? I mean, it's just a different mentality.
Well,
apparently. Marc is standing there at ice level when the game starts. He's right there between the benches.
No, he is. He's very good at his job. He's excellent. Maybe the words came out a different way, but I'm not sure ownership and management wants the team to be humble and kind during games. I just can't see that. That's not the NHL that I'm accustomed to. I see that away from the rink, and I see it dealing with the media and definitely with the fans.
Well,
and in public places, for sure.
Now, listen, I am over the trade, but when a discussion like this comes up and the word humble is used, I can recall Michel Therrien saying, we want our players to be humble, and that's when I first realized that P.K. Subban was not long for this team. You'll never get him to be humble.
No, for sure not. For sure not.
And do you get results in big games when they matter most, Rod? Go ahead.
I like number 10. Number 10 was really good. I thought he was really good. Guy, if you're listening, I thought you were awesome, man.
Well, in 2017, one of the many challenges for this team, humble or arrogant or cocky or whatever, is getting goals, Pierre. And a lot of the time it's been Jonathan Drouin contributing or the team loses. 1-8 when he's held without a point. A lot of teams are targeting. I'm just wondering, as we approach the 20-game mark, how you think Drouin is handling that situation generally at center and being the target every night?
I think it's been tough for him. You know, I talked about it with Mitch before the season. I thought if he could get to 25 goals, that would be great. You know, I don't know if he's going to get there. And Mitch, I think you thought he's probably going to go past that. It's a big adjustment. And that's not a knock on the player. You're asking this guy to do a completely different thing than what he's used to. Playing the wing and playing center are two really different things. The expect, and there are not a lot of centermen that are going to rip it up scoring goals. Yeah, you got Sidney Crosby. Yeah, you got Connor McDavid. But there are not a lot of those guys that just rip it up scoring-wise. They're more playmakers than they are finishers. It's hard to be a finisher and be a center iceman, especially when people are targeting you.
Right back up the wing. It's carried by Smoltz. Along to it. He scores!
Now Richard Panik throws that puck into a dead area. Schmaltz skates into it. He hears Anisimov scream for it. Anisimov beats McDonough to the net, and the puck ends up at the back of the net.
Well, there's a centerman who scored a lot last night. First career hat trick for Artem Anisimov. 6-3 Blackhawks over the Rangers, snapping New York's six-game winning streak.
You see where the three goals were from? The same spot, about a foot and a half from the top of the crease. It wasn't a whole lot of skating involved there, but I give the Chicago Blackhawks a ton of credit. They should have been pile-driven in that game, the way the first period played out, but they hung in there. Corey Crawford hung in there. Duncan Keith hung in there. Gustav Forsling. Wrong team, Chair. Way to go.
Yeah, we're getting to those guys in a second, yeah.
Yeah, Gustav Forsling was fantastic. The best game he's played since coming over from Vancouver. That really helped him. And their penalty kill in the first period when John Hayden took a 4-minute double minor, that saved the game. That was a turning point of the game. So I give Chicago a lot of credit for hanging in there. I really do.
As we went to break, everything broke loose between the benches. You saw Witkowski was still yapping at the Flames bench, and we have just seen a brawl, including Mantha on top of Travis Hamonic in between the benches.
Well, a Chris Nyland-like moment for Witkowski. Ended up with 37 minutes in penalties after that melee. Mantha, even his own coach, said, we'll make sure he doesn't do that again. He was flailing away on Hamonic, who was down and out after they fell into the bench area. We don't see that anymore. That was an old-school line brawl at the end of the game between Detroit, which won the game easily 8-2 over Calgary.
Right. The interesting part, and I was asked about this today because I didn't see it live because I was busy. Witkowski, what has anything come down from the league? Because you got to think something's coming down. Was he escorted off and come back on?
Yes, Pierre, he was. And there is talk. Nothing is confirmed yet, but there is talk that the NHL likely going to suspend him 10 games for coming back.
First man. No, yeah, sorry, but no, just no. I know I saw three misconducts in there. So and two of them,
right.
I think, were game misconducts.
But now that's the question I have is, was he completely escorted off the ice and then did he come back? I didn't see that. That's why I'm asking.
Well, there were too many bodies for us to really make sense of it.
Right.
We were having dinner last night, and we saw it on the monitor as we were having dinner last night. Right. So we really didn't get a solid look at it.
That's going to be the big question. Now, there's got to be suspensions coming out of that. It's really good for Detroit because they showed some offensive explosion. It's not great for Calgary because it shows how much they miss Mike Smith, and it also shows that there may be a different team at home, a little bit like Vegas, than they are on the road, because a lot of people focus in on Johnny Gaudreau, a lot of people focus in on Sean Monahan. So it makes it a little bit more of a difficult game for Calgary to win on the road. They're not overly deep offensively. So it's going to be interesting to watch, especially if they don't have Mike Smith, because I don't think Eddie lacks the answer. I do eventually think John Gillies will be the answer. He's a kid that played great at Providence College. He's a tremendous prospect. But I don't know if he's ready for this yet, but I don't think Eddie Lack is ready for it.
John Gibson with 40 saves in the last game last night, Anaheim beating the Boston Bruins by a score of 4-2. Corey Perry with a couple of nice setups.
Yep.
And where is Boston tonight? They follow that up in Los Angeles tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, they're in L.A. I'll be watching that game tonight after watching the early ones. But for Boston, it's just that they're decimated. They can't get over the hump even when they play pretty solidly. They just can't finish games off. A lot of it's due to injury. Some of it's due to inexperience. But they're in a tough little position right now. They're a little bit like Philadelphia. Young team, trying to find a way, not overly deep because of some injuries or different positional situations because of youth. It's tough, but that's what you go through when you got young teams.
The poor guy's playing against the best defenseman. He's no surprise now. He's playing against the Peter Angelos, the Letangs. You know, probably playing against Shea Weber tonight. So, you know, he's not getting the third pair. You know, as a 19-year-old, the most 19-year-olds get, he's getting the main guy. So that's something he's going to have to go through.
And once again, Pierre's pick 2 weeks ago for the Rookie of the Year is Clayton Keller. Montreal fans will get their first NHL look at Clayton Keller under Rick Tocchet tonight.
Magical with the puck. He'll excite you right away if he's in full flight because you see the creative genius to his game. He's not overly large. There's a little bit of Johnny Gaudreau in him, a little bit of Paul Kariya in him, but his peripheral vision is outstanding. Rick Tocchet just said something that I say to you guys all the time. Matchups matter so much. And I don't know how much when Rick was in Philadelphia they paid attention to matchups. It was just a different scenario for the Flyers at that point in his career. But when he was with us in Pittsburgh, he saw Scotty work matchups and how important they were. And I think over time he learned about it. And obviously winning two cups as an assistant coach, he really learned about it. And he sees what Clayton Keller's going through. I watch their games because I think Keller's great. I really like Max Domi. I feel terrible for Oliver Ekman-Larsson. He's having a lousy year, just a bad, bad year. They need him to get going. They obviously have had some injuries. They're not an overly deep team. But I just hope for Rick's sake that some of these guys can start to get better in a hurry because he's a really good coach. Rick Tocchet, I can tell you, of all the guys I've had the privilege of working with, I can tell you right now, Rick Tocchet's as plugged in as anybody in the league in the terms of understanding the game and how players need to be treated and systems you have to implement. He's really, really good.
Enjoy the 11 games tonight, Pierre. We'll talk at least about three of them, I think, tomorrow.
Well, yeah, no, there's some good ones. I think that Ottawa-Pittsburgh game is going to be good.
Matt Duchene making his debut in Ottawa tonight.
Yeah, you know, and that 87 guy had a really good game the last game that they played. He's playing pretty well, that Buffalo overtime win. So I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of good games tonight. The late games are good, too.
We're going out with some old-school hockey, courtesy of the mid-'80s. Once again, an off-the-cuff.
He swings out to the near point. Swings back in, and we're going to have a penalty, and we're going to have Julian and Tocchet.
You can see him. What happened there. Julian trying to keep Tocchet from the net, and they were jostling for position. And eventually, those young Bulls are going to drop their gloves, which they did, and now Julian is just grabbing on and holding on to Rick Tocchet. I think Julian got cut. He's bleeding quite a bit from the nose, Gene, and I think he might have got Tocchet might have got a punch in.
I honestly don't, but I getting knocks. You don't warn anybody when people send you those fight tapes. Yeah, I remember that. I'm like, geez, did I fight Claude Julian? Man, he's a great guy. I don't remember fighting that guy. He's a great.